I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. God, to do the imagining you call us to do, we need open minds, open spirits, open hearts, open ears. So I ask, God, that your word might be in the midst of mine, that your wisdom that is shared might cause us to imagine. May the truth that we need for the living of this day, for the living of the days ahead, rise to the surface that we might grab hold of it and live into it. Amen. Can you imagine? No, really, are you still able to imagine? It occurred to me the other day that we really don't have to use our imaginations very much these days if we don't want to. Think about it. Almost everything can be seen or experienced. The world is getting smaller, as they say. Especially now, because of the pandemic, there has been an incredible push to make everything accessible for everyone, everywhere, always. Not always a bad thing, don't get me wrong, but it has drastically changed the way we experience and imagine, or not, the world around us. Places you are planning to visit can be viewed online before you go. And even if you can't go, you can take the virtual tour or live stream 24/7 footage. Things you are planning to purchase can be seen online before you buy them. I think you can even upload a picture of your face to try on a new pair of glasses if you want. Why imagine when you can know for sure? And we cannot forget about everyone's written reviews of every single product, restaurant, experience, service that one can imagine. I know you read the reviews. A number of stars out of 5 have been assigned to just about everything. It seems no matter what we hope to do, no matter what we hope to experience, no matter what we hope to buy or eat or feel, we want to make sure it's going to live up to our expectations. And we really want to know if it's going to disappoint us. We don't just want to imagine what it might be like to experience what it is we're hoping to experience. We want to know what's going to happen, which poses a little bit of an issue when we start thinking about what's next for us as fragile and finite humans. So many throughout time, perhaps even you, have pondered these questions. What happens when all of this ends? What lies beyond this life? What comes after the here and now? What is heaven like? We are concrete, tangible people who need to know concrete, tangible facts, particularly in moments of loss or fear or deep questioning. It comforts us and gives us a sense of contentment. The downside of that, however, is that we often don't allow ourselves to imagine, to hope, to trust, to come alive in the wonder of the unknown, the excitement of the what might be, the hope of the unrevealed. As Reverend Sue said, John, the writer of the book of Revelation, from where our passage this morning comes from, was a very old man when he was exiled to the island of Patmos. He had outlived most of the other disciples. He had seen the church under his care flourish and then scatter under the pressure of persecution. It was this persecution that concerned John because he knew that suffering can give rise to doubt, and he knew that some believers had already given up hope. John wrote these words, shared this vision with Christians suffering for their faith to encourage them to endure, to encourage them that there was yet more beyond the story. In the book of Revelation, John pulls open the curtain of heaven and gives us a vision of what is happening in the heavenly realm, while also reminding us of God in Christ's abiding presence with the hope, I believe, that it would meet us where we are and give us strength for the life we are living, the relationships we're navigating, the church we are being, the kingdom we are building. For many, Faith is a source of comfort and contentment, as I said. We cling to the promises of God's presence in life, in death, and life beyond death. The danger, I believe, is when those promises become all about us having the answers and neglecting and rejecting those imagination-provoking questions that are so valuable. There is danger in our faith focusing solely on what comes next and forgetting about what is. As I said, you know I'm one who likes to keep it real. I find value in telling it like it is, claiming the reality that is around us, and being present in whatever it is we're standing in. But what if, through scriptures like the one we're looking at today, God is inviting us to imagine, not in a way that ignores what's going on around us, but in a way that frees us, opens us, awakens a sense of hope within us, allows us to dream of a tomorrow even better than today, and most importantly, stirs within us a spirit and a call to action. As people of faith, followers of Christ, we are constantly being asked to stand in the tension, to hold, to wrestle with and reconcile the already and the not yet, the present and the future, the kingdom now and the kingdom to come. Ours is a faith of holy contradictions, a God who draws the circle wide and who draws intimately close to each one of us, a ruler of everything who was born with nothing, a tiny vulnerable baby, a suffering Savior who died on a cross and then rose again in glory, a good, good world created by God that holds pain and hurt and abuse, life, death, eternal life, it's all swirled together in the sacred wonder of our faith. It's easy for Christianity and the core of our faith to revolve around what comes next, what comes after, making sure we have all our ducks in a row, to borrow words from my Easter message, so we get to heaven. And yet, as Eugene Peterson's Message translation interprets a line from our Revelation text, God has moved in to our neighborhood with great purpose and intention for the lives we have here and now. As humans made in the image of God, walking around in the creation that God made and delighted in. I believe our words from Scripture today, full of imagery and mystery and lots of unknown, are stretching us, inviting us to imagine what lies ahead, not just so we know what happens at the end of the story, what happens when we die, or what eternal life looks like beyond this, but also, and that's a big but also, so that we can bring about that kingdom here and now, just as Jesus sought to do. The vision before us from Revelation is of a new heaven and a new earth. The coming kingdom where the sins of the world, the brokenness of our lives, is taken up and away, and we are all reconciled into the eternal world, the eternal city where nobody ever cries again. Can you imagine? This new city, the new Jerusalem, has been a hope and a promised reality for generation upon generation. But it was always thought of as a place where people go, separate from earth, escaping our present reality and entering into God's. We, the humans, we do the moving. What makes this vision from Revelation such a new thing, what makes it stand apart for me, is that we aren't going anywhere. Instead, God comes to us. God's kingdom, God's vision is here on earth dwelling among God's people, not the other way around, not a separate reality, but intimate incarnate coming to be with us, so close that God's hand reaches our faces and wipes away our tears, embracing us in our darkest hours, the middle of the night when we believe we are alone. God says, "My home is among you, I will dwell with you. My favorite four-letter word of faith comes through again as the writer reminds us that God chooses to live and dwell with us. We worship a God who is both intimate, tender, personal, and is a powerful one who is able to restore all of creation. What a beautiful, contradictory, imaginative, hope-filled, prophetic vision. At the very core of my faith is the belief that God is at work in the world, still creating, still speaking, still moving the world into what it can be, and is now working with us on that. The season of Easter celebrates the life of Jesus, the resurrected life of Jesus, ensuring that God is co-creating with us as we seek to become God's people and as we seek to become God's kingdom on earth. His message was that this work is both impossible and possible, that it is far off and near, that it is beyond us, and that we can reach it together and with God's help. Both of our lectionary readings today remind us, urge us, that the purpose of life as a follower of Jesus is to help lovingly form the world into what it can become. Do I know what the new heaven and the new earth will look like? I do not. Does this passage of Scripture make those details any clearer? Sort of, but not in the way we hope for or are used to. This passage is less of a preview and more of a promise that though we do not know what the future holds, God holds us as it all comes to be. We cannot live stream what lies ahead. We cannot preview it or look up Yelp reviews on it or try it on before we buy. What we can do is lean into the wonder, the mystery, the sacred unknown. What we can do is hold on to God's promises, hold on to a God who moves in next door, rolls up God's sleeves, and meets us where we are, and most importantly, invites us to participate in the bringing about and being and imagining the new thing that is being created around us and within us and beyond us. I am reminded of the words of a poem entitled "The Hill We Climb." Many of you know it. Words shared by Amanda Gorman at our latest presidential inauguration. It had been a while since I read her words, and perhaps it's been a while for you too, so I wanted to share a few excerpts from them this morning. As we hold intention, hurt, and hope, present and future, looking around and looking ahead, and reflect on this new world God is bringing about. When day comes, we ask ourselves, where can we find light in this never-ending shade? And yes, we are far from polished, far from pristine, but that doesn't mean we are striving to form a union that is perfect. We are striving to forge our union with purpose, to compose a country committed to all cultures, colors, characters, and conditions of man. And so we lift our gaze, not to what stands between us, but what stands before us. We close the divide because we know to put our future first, we must first put our differences aside. We lay down our arms so we can reach out our arms to one another. We seek harm to none and harmony for all. Let the globe, if nothing else, say this is true, that even as we grieved, we grew, that even as we hurt, we hoped, that even as we tired, we tried, that we'll forever be tied together victorious, not because we will never again know defeat, but because we will never again sow division. Scripture tells us to envision that everyone shall sit in their own vine and fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. When day comes, we step out of the shade, aflame and unafraid. The new dawn balloons as we free it. For For there is always light, if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it. Can you imagine the light of that new dawn, the new heaven and the new earth, beyond us, among us, within us? May we indeed be brave enough to see it, brave enough to be it, brave enough to find Jesus in our own neighborhood and to be Christ to our neighbors. May we dare to imagine what lies ahead and what all that lies around us can and will become. May we dare to see and be the new thing that God is doing. Can you imagine? With Christ, I believe we can. Amen.